Are you ready for the word today? Two of you. You ready for the word? All right. If you got your Bibles, go with me to Hebrews. Turn them on or open them up. Hebrews chapter 4. This is Pentecost Sunday. 40 days after the resurrection, the birth of the church, Acts chapter 2, and they were all in one place and in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were sitting and appeared upon them cloven tongues like as of fire. And they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. The Greek word for utterance is glossolalia, which means language. As the Spirit of God gave them the language. The Holy Spirit touches your tongue. The Bible says the tongue is the most unruly part of the body. It's lethal, it's deadly. You can murder with your mouth. How many of you ever said things that hurt people? How many of you ever had somebody say something to you that hurts you? Yeah, that's why when the Lord touches you with His Spirit, He touches your tongue. Because He knew if He could get you by the mouth. I went to Kentucky and they have these big horses there called Clydesdales. And they control that whole animal because they got it by the mouth. They put a bit in its mouth. God knew if He could get you by that tongue, He's got you. Somebody say amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but is in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched," everybody say touched, "by the feelings of our infirmities." The Lord cares how you feel. Say that out loud. Say, "Jesus cares how I feel. He cares how I feel." Being touched by the King. Being touched by Jesus. I heard a great story a couple weeks ago. It really impacted me. And it's a true story. And in 1940... there was a lot of research that was done. It was a research experiment, and the man who led it was René Spitz. And because of World War II, hundreds of thousands of orphans were all over the world. And this man began to do research, and he was assigned to figure out a strategy around this. And one of the things that he did was they had assigned in this research one nurse to every seven babies. And because of the war and so many parents had been killed in the war, so many babies were orphans without mothers and fathers. And this research and this discovery was so impactful that it ultimately shaped how we do medicine and how babies are actually born, what happens right after they're born. And it used to be that when a baby was born, several people were touching the baby. They would take the baby instantly and they'd be doing all kinds of things to the baby and washing the baby and cleaning the baby and giving the baby whatever it needed. And then after all these people touch the baby, they bring the baby back to the mother. And this research changed all of that. And now they say they only want a minimum of four people to touch the baby. And actually, I mean, I've been through this a few times, but when a baby's born, they immediately take the baby without cleaning the baby, washing the baby, no one touches it. They take the baby and they put the baby right on the mother's chest. Any mamas and dads in here know what I'm talking about? That all that came from this research. And that's why when you have a baby right now, they take the baby and instantly put the baby on the mother's chest. And what they found out was they need to give the baby to the mother, and they don't want anybody but immediate family, the father and the mother, to touch the baby because of the power of touch. And they had assigned one nurse in this orphanage to feed and to clothe and to change seven babies in shifts. And because there were so many babies, the babies did not receive physical touch. And they were not nurtured and they were not held because these nurses didn't have the time, being busy feeding and changing and clothing the babies. And so the babies would begin to cry. And they would become restless and begin to scream for someone to come and hold them, for someone to come and touch them. How many mamas and dads know what I'm talking about when the baby starts crying and wants to be held and to be touched? And this research went on for about several years, and these babies received little to no physical touch, and they were restless, they were crying. But what the research showed is after a while, something happened. That after a while, the baby stopped reaching and they stopped crying one by one. And it's actually a very sad statistic, but literally what happened was 37% of the babies started dying. And they would die without the touch that they so desperately needed. They did not die from starvation. They did not die because they weren't taken care of. But one nurse could not do all that needed to be done. But these babies did not die from sickness or disease. They died from a lack of physical touch. And this sent shockwaves throughout the medical community. And people were shocked that a baby could be fed, that a baby could be clothed, that a baby could be changed, and a baby could still die. With every other physical need met, it could still die because the baby was not touched. And the underlying fact of the whole study was that human beings are wired and made for touch. That it's a life necessity, that without touch, the human body begins to shut down. And if somebody can die without physical touch, even though they're fed, even though they're clothed, if they can die without being touched, how much more when we come into these services and these moments do we need the Lord to touch us? How dangerous is it for us to come to church and be fed? How dangerous is it for us to come to church and be clothed in righteousness, but not be touched by Jesus? Everybody say, Lord, touch me. Come on, say it again. Everybody say, Lord, touch me. How dangerous is it for our name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but not have the hand of our King and our Savior, Jesus, touch us? I have a question for all of us today. When was the last time you let the Lord touch you? When was the last time you felt the Lord touch you in such a way that you knew the stuff that you were carrying began to fall away? The things that you're carrying when you walked in here, you laid them at the foot of the cross. And I just want to ask everybody in here, are you still reaching for him? Are you still crying out for him? Or has it become normal for you just to be fed and clothed and not be touched? Because one by one, little by little, Everyone was fed, everyone was closed, but they stopped reaching. They stopped crying out. And I want to tell you, you have to let the Lord touch you. Without a touch, you will not survive. It's not enough just to have information. We need the Lord to touch us. Are you still reaching? Are you still crying out for Him? Because if you've become silent, like those babies, at some point they stopped reaching out. At some point they just stopped crying out and they became silent. They were being fed, they were being clothed, but they were not being touched. And it's dangerous for us to not be touched by the Lord. And once you become used to not being touched, it becomes your normal. And then you think it's normal to come to church and be fed. You think it's normal to come to church and be fed and be clothed and not be touched. Not be touched. You can be seen, serving, giving, and not be touched. And you can leave the way that you came. I want you to know God can change everything with one touch. I'm gonna say it again. God can change everything with one touch. And if you're not careful, you'll look at church and this thing will become professional. I don't need the worship team to be professional. I need them to be touched. What happened to the words on the screen? What happened to this? What happened to that? And we lose everything because something wasn't professional. This is not professional. This is not a performance. We are here to minister unto Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen about it. We're not even ministering unto you. We are all ministering to Jesus. We are ministers unto the Lord. And if we're not careful, this thing will become professional, and it's not meant to be professional. We need God to change us with His touch. Revive us with His touch. Heal us with His touch. Deliver us with His touch. I'm not just up here bringing information. I'm not just giving material. We need God to touch us when we gather. And if you're not crying out to Him, if you're not worshiping out to Him, if you can come in here and feel nothing and your soul is not moved and not touched, we need Him to touch us. You know, there was a study done in 2023 around Gen Z. And I have nothing negative to say about Gen Z or the next generation. I think they're amazing. And I think God saved the best for last. But this generation suffers from extreme loneliness. They are the most lonely generation to ever exist, according to as long as they've been keeping statistics on loneliness. 44% of this generation struggles with loneliness. Even though they're the most connected generation digitally. But what we're finding out is likes and shares and followers and TikTok and YouTube is not healing the loneliness. Sometimes we need to touch something other than glass and let the Lord touch us. We need to be touched. Social media is not going to heal you of loneliness. It's not going to fill the void in your heart. And I don't want us to gather in church and become professional. I don't want us to gather and be fed and be clothed and not be touched. And Has it become normal to you to come in here and go through the motions and leave the way that we came and not be touched? How many of you know what it's like when Jesus touches you? Come on, anybody know what I'm talking? When was the last time you wept in the presence of Jesus? When? When was the last time your heart melted like wax? Or have you stopped reaching? Have you stopped crying out to Him? And your soul is untouched. And every now and then we need more than to touch social media and to touch glass and touch our phones. We need the Lord to touch our heart. We're saturated with screens, but we're starved for affection. You're not going to get what you need from social media or the internet or YouTube. God touched me as a teenager, changed my life. Matthew 24, 11 and 14 says, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. There's many false prophets. How can you watch a 30-second TikTok about how God's not real and lose the faith of your fathers and your grandfathers? If you can watch a 60-minute YouTube video and hate the church, you've never been touched. And it's information arguing with information. You know why a YouTube video can't convince me that God's not real? Because I've been touched. I've been touched. Touch me. We used to sing songs in church like, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that, oh, something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Unless the Lord touches you, you'll be tossed by every wind and wave of doctrine. You can get on social media and watch a 30-second YouTube video. Now you don't believe in God. You hate the church. You don't even believe in gender. You don't believe in parents. You don't believe in anything because you've never let the Lord touch you. If God touches you, no argument can stand up against experience. If you let the Lord come to you in a dream, in a vision, you'll never question the authenticity of His reality. God, come to everyone in our family in a dream. In the last days, look at it, verse 11, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Many false prophets. Who are these people? Who are these people? How could you lose generations of faith that was imparted into you because you watched something on your phone? Let the Lord touch you. This is not material and information. This is a relationship with God who loves you and wants to nurture you and hold you and touch you. Look at verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound. You know what lawlessness means? Put my verse back up. Lawlessness is not the lack of police. It means when you're a law unto yourself. You're your own truth. This is where we live in a world now. What's your truth? What's your truth? This is my truth. Truth is not a what. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the... Y'all, you don't have to say amen to me. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus is the truth. And He is the life. That's why when you pull in this church, it says truth lives here. Jesus is the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. God is true. If you let the Lord touch you, he'll heal you of confusion. Satan is the author of confusion. When God touches you, you know what gender you are. When God touches you, the chains of addiction fall. They fall. Look at this, verse 12. But because lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Has your heart grown cold? I watch you. I watch y'all worship like you're my child. I watch you. I pray in the mornings. I say, God, don't let the people's heart be cold. Let their heart be soft. Let their heart be tender, even if you have to break it. A broken heart is not a bad thing because a broken heart means you don't have a hard heart. I'd rather have a broken heart than a hard heart. Pastor, why you cry all the time? Because when you're broken, you can't control how it comes out. It's like if you break a vessel, it just comes out. You can't control it. You're just broken. The love of many shall wax cold, shall grow cold. Everybody say, Lord, don't let my heart grow cold. What do you mean grow cold when you sin and you don't feel bad about it? How can you be out of church for weeks and weeks and it means nothing? Not pray for weeks means nothing. Sin and there's no, when you can sin and not feel convicted, your heart is waxed cold. What's the old saying? A lamb and a pig fall in the mud. If you want to tell the difference between the lamb and the pig, always remember that when the pig gets in the mud, he wallers. And when the lamb gets in the mud, he cries. And there's something about someone who's saved that when they fall in the sin, they say, I don't like this. I don't feel clean. I don't get me out of this. Rescue me out of this. Deliver me out of this. The pig wallers in it, but the Christian cries, God, I can't stay in this. The Lord wants to touch you. One touch, Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being, a living nethage. One thing formed him, another thing filled him. Everything God made, he spoke to. The only thing that he made that he touched was man. God didn't speak you into existence. He touched you. This is why we still need him to touch us again. Yes. One thing formed him, another thing filled him. And a lot of us have come so far away from the dirt that we no longer fit in with the dirt we came from. But we haven't come all the way over to allow God to breathe in us. And God breathed into him. It came from a mouth-to-mouth experience with God. Until you let God get mouth to mouth with you. Once you let God breathe into you, you'll stop running from person to person, trying to get them to fill what only God can fill. There is a void in you that only God can fill. There is an emptiness in you that only God can fill. And when he breathed into him, he breathed in him all of his future and all of his destiny. He breathed into him people he had never seen or known. He breathed in him Cain, Abel, and Seth, and Ephraim, and Manasseh, and Jacob. It came from a mouth-to-mouth experience with God. Let God breathe into you his life, his touch. One touch from the Lord can straighten out any confusion. If God touches you, you will lose all confusion about gender. I don't need to argue with people about information. I just need to ask God to touch them. You know who I love to pastor? People who have been touched. You know who's not confused? People who have been touched. People who have surrendered their will to the will of Jesus. God touches. God touch my child. I have 4 teenagers. God touch all of them. Deliver all of them. Let them all be in love with you, not other people. Oh, y'all say amen about it. Let them love you first, Jesus. Let them love you first, Lord. All this dating stuff. You know why you're so hungry to be in a relationship? Because you're not in a relationship with the Lord. You've not let the Lord touch you. You're needy. You're a half a person looking for another half a person. You need to be a whole person. You've bought into the lies of this world. You've bought into dating. Dating's only 135 years old. The term dating comes from prostitution. What does dating mean? It means to set a date. 135 years ago, impoverished women would set dates with men, and they would take them to dinner, entertain them, and then there would be casual prostitution. In exchange for dinner and entertainment, there would be prostitution, so they would set dates. This is where the term dating comes from. Sounds like dating today. You don't believe me, ChatGPT, Google it, because I know you don't believe me. You know what the divorce rate is in our nation? Over 50%, almost 60%, because you're trying to find somebody rather than letting godly parents look for you. You know what the divorce rate is for arranged marriages? Less than 10%. Because the world's telling you your parents are fools. Wow. Come on. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Touch my children. Don't let their heart grow cold. Ephesians 4:19, this verse wrecked me. It says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness and the works of uncleanliness and greediness. Look at that, look at that. Look at those first 4 words. This wrecked me. Who being past feelings. You've lost your feelings. I don't feel anything when I come to church. I don't feel anything when I pray. I don't feel anything when the worship's happening. I'm looking at the building and I'm critical and I feel nothing. Do not let the enemy take you past feelings. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. If you lose your feelings, you can't touch him anymore. Everybody say, Lord, don't let me go past feelings. Have you gone past feelings? Can you look at pornography and you've lost your feeling of conviction? Can we fornicate and we've lost our feeling of conviction? Can we have an offering and just sit there and have no heart to give? Can we be in worship and have no heart to sing? Have we gone past feelings? Can my little kids be coming to me and dad, and I'm on my phone? Have I gone past feelings? Maybe I'm just preaching at myself. So if so, God, do it in me. Change me, heal me, deliver me, save me. Do something new in me. Put a fire in me, God. But don't let me go past feelings. Don't let me get used to not being touched. I don't want to ever come to church and not be touched. Ever, ever. Don't let me sit in a worship service and not let tears run down my face. Don't let me sit under the word and get hard-hearted and stale. And touch my heart. Have I given myself over to sin? Luke 7:14, I'm almost done. Luke 7:14, then he came and touched, Jesus touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. Jesus will touch what other people will not touch. Jesus will touch the dead things in your life. He'll touch the leprosy. He'll touch your addiction. One touch. When Jesus touches your coffin, dead things come back to life. Mark 5:26-28. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and she touched his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well and whole. She said, the Bible says she said to herself, your miracle is in the story you tell yourself. It's not what other people say about you that's hurting you. Yeah. It's what you're saying to yourself. Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Lord, let me change the story I tell myself. Yes. It's what I say about me. It's what you say about your marriage. It's what you say about your children. It's what you say about your health. It's what you say about your future. It's what you say. She said to herself, one translation says, she said over and over and over again, if I may but touch, if I may but touch, if I may but touch. How many of you have ever had to say something over and over and over to yourself because so many other people were telling you the opposite? And when you looked around yourself, what you saw didn't agree with what you wanted God to do in your life. And you had to almost close your eyes and just tell yourself over and over and over again, if I may but touch. The hem of his garment. He was a rabbi, so he had little tassels at the bottom of his garment, which was called the tzitzi, which was symbolic of the word of God. That when she reached out, she literally touched the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why Jesus said, he didn't say, who touched my robe? He said, who touched me? Because he was the Word. Touch. Do not underestimate the power of God touching you when you read his Word. Why do you think you're fought so hard to read the Word? Why do you think you've been saved 10, 20, 30 years and you know not one chapter of the Bible? It's because the fight is in knowing his Word. You are cleansed by the washing of the Word of God. Let the Word dwell in you. Let it dwell in your children. Hide my word in your heart that you may not sin. What keeps you from sin? The word. The word, not meditation, not yoga, not self-help, not willpower. It's the word. The word, the word, the word, the word, the word, the word. Preach the word. Uncompromised. Quote the word over your children. Every day before I went to school, this woman and this man over here, Proverbs 3 and 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Put the word in your child. Not video games, the word. Not iPhones, the word. Whatever you fail to teach your children, God will teach them. But if you fail to teach them God, you have robbed them of the greatest treasure of their life. If you do not have a plan this week to teach your children the word, change it this week. How can they know every theme song to every kid's show and they don't know a verse of the Bible? Only the word will save them. I feel the Lord in this room. We need the word and we need each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. I need you. Look at this story. I'll leave you with this. In 1995, twin baby girls, Kyrie and Brielle, were born 12 weeks premature in Massachusetts. They were placed in separate incubators, as was the standard practice. Kyrie gained weight and improved, but Brielle was struggling, and her heart rate would not fall into proper rhythm. Her oxygen levels were dropping and she was near death. And a compassionate nurse broke protocol and placed the twins in the same incubator. As soon as they were together, Kyrie, they have a picture of this, I think, wrapped, put my picture up of the babies, wrapped her arm around Brielle, and almost immediately, their heart rate synced. Her oxygen levels improved and her breathing became normal. It became known as the rescuing hug. Some of you, your heart is out of sync. And you need the body of Christ to put their arm around you. You need the church to put its arm around you and sink your heart and let it beat with the love of Jesus. Somebody say, we need each other. We used to call people in the church brother and sister. We need the body of Christ. You'd be shocked the power of touch. That's why Jesus said, if any two or three of you shall touch and agree, it shall be done. Don't come to church and not touch. And don't come to church and not let the Lord touch you. Let him touch you. Don't go past feelings. Hear me, church. I feel God in this room. If you've gone past feelings, just repent. Say, Lord, I need you to touch me again. I've stopped reaching out. I've stopped crying out. And it's become normal for me to not be touched. The beauty of church is when God touches you in his house. Thank you, Lord. You know, the very first experience that man had with God was not seeing God. It was not hearing God. The very first experience man had with God was being touched by God. And you will never see him or hear him if you do not let him touch you.